So this morning, I knew what I was going to be preaching on. The Lord just kept stirring over and over in me. And I went to bed last night, and I knew the scripture. And somewhere during the course of the night, I had a dream. Somebody preached my message in my dream. I was like, and they were here. I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's the message I prepared. Good Lord. Then I woke up. God preached my message to me in my dream. I've never had that one happen before. But so it's always a good thing to know that you're on in tune with God when he's preaching your message that he's already put on your heart to preach. So I think this message is fitting for what day it is. New Year's. Tomorrow's a new day. New year. The sad part of being a new year and all this is all the doomsday prophets have been out for about 3 or 4 months, really hitting it hard and heavy. 2024 is going to be an awful year. Destruction around the world. You're just now reading the writings of Christ? You're just now reading the Bible? 2,000 years ago, somebody said this and now you're saying it? Oh, wait a minute. I thought 2020 was the worst year. 21, 22, 23. I mean, I've been around this game for a while, and since I was about 10, I've heard it every year. Jesus is returning tomorrow. I'm out in the garden, hoeing the weeds, looking for Jesus. He never came. Well, I just don't know that he's going to come. He's going to come. When you least expect it. Because guess what? He don't know when he's showing up. So sick and tired of people. Oh, Jesus is coming back tomorrow. Yeah. And then tomorrow and tomorrow, live like he's coming back today. How about you do that? But anyhow, the doomsday prophets have been out. Oh, it's going to be worse. It's going to be terrible, terrible. So let's see. Jesus said that people will betray one another in the church. There will be devastation on the planet like we've never seen. Well, I forget where it was. Oh, it was in over in England, and can't remember the name of the area. They were watching from their, and this was just this week, from their balcony, 60-foot waves coming in, just from a storm. If you don't know how big a 60-foot wave is, this building's 72 feet long. So take that off. From here to there is a wave coming in. And I've been in 6-foot swells. They make you feel like you're tiny, let alone a 60-foot. And there's even bigger than that out in the ocean. The reality is, folks, there's always going to be something. There's always going to be a war. It's what Jesus said. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. There will be earthquakes in multiple places. So we've got lots of stuff happening. So everybody's looking to 2024. Then here's the thing. It's a doomsday prophet. So they're starting to preach, hey, you need to stockpile everything. And I have yet to figure out why you're stockpiling ammo. I like to shoot just as much as the next guy. But you're not taking on an army. You need to understand, for every 1,000 rounds you have, they have 10,000. They carry about 1,000 with them on their individual body. And besides that, Jesus never told us to do that. You want to stock up some food? That's great. There might be times it might have shortages. Revelation promises us that shortages are coming. Can you stock up enough food? No. So as I was listening to the Holy Spirit about this message, here's where he said to start off from. Psalm 118:24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This day. Why are we worried about tomorrow? Why are we stressing about what tomorrow's going to bring? Oh, the prophet said, listen, he's probably missed it a couple times, and according to biblical standards, he's a false prophet. Quit listening. This is the word of God coming to us. This is the day that we are in. Rejoice. And at no time in the Bible has God ever failed his people. And I will stand here as a testament, a living testament. God has never failed me. I failed him multiple times. But he's never dropped the ball on me. He tells me to step out, I step out. He's told me to step out, and I didn't step out. It didn't work out so good for me. There's been times he told me to step out, and I said, but God, I can't do that because I'm thinking with my carnal mind. God, why aren't you meeting my needs? You didn't obey me. But what you told me was stupid. Carnally. Right? God will challenge you to do things that your mind says you can't do that. That's God. Now, he's not going to tell you to do stupid things, but they aren't going to always make sense to you. Like when he told Isaac to sow. He said, you go out and you rent fields and you plant your fields in a drought. Now, I'm not, I think what was it, maybe 88 was our last real drought. Did we have we had anything? Yeah, I think 88. Now, you know, I know you had planted crops and that drought kind of hit. I remember they were mowing the ditches for hay so we could send it down south and feed our own animals too, because down south took a big heat hit that year. But you wouldn't go tell people, hey, you know, I'll go spend every dime you got and plant. But God told Isaac to do that. And the Bible says that Isaac reaped 100-fold. For every seed he planted, he reaped 100. That's the blessing of God. Because Isaac dared to do something that God challenged him to do. This was Isaac's livelihood. When God moved on me to leave my job, I'm like, God, you know, the job I had wasn't my favorite. There's aspects of it I really enjoyed. But then he said, it's time to go from here. He removed a piece. Now, mind you, that job I was not treated well, was not paid well, no real benefits. But the only thing that did benefit me was because of that job, I was able to buy a house. And when we sat down with the realtor and she said, how much you make an hour? And I told her, she says, you can't afford this house. Let me see your W-2. I showed her my W-2. She says, you can afford this house. She says, how much overtime do you work? I said, on average, about 20 hours a week. I work 6 days a week. She said, well, that explains why you can afford this house. And then after we got everything in, God said, okay, change jobs. And then 9 months after that, God said, you need to go on your own. I've brought your dreams to fruition. But I didn't. I didn't leave when I was supposed to. I held on because I got good benefits. I got insurance, Lord. I got some great things going on here. They got great insurance. They just paid $70,000 on Jesse. I don't want to leave just yet. I look back, you fool, listen to God. When I finally did leave, it was going into the fall, and if anybody knows anything about construction, you're not trying to start full-time business at that point. In the summer, you were trying to line up work for the winter. It was a skinny year, but God was faithful, even though I wasn't. So we rejoice. We give him praise. Lord, I thank you for providing for me. I thank you that you've given me a job. Don't ever let anybody look down on you for your job. That's foolishness. I had a friend who worked at Wendy's one time. We're the same age. And I walked in to Wendy's to get something. He's there and he says, man, I'm embarrassed that you see me working here. I looked at him and said, don't you dare be embarrassed. You're out providing for your family. I don't care how you're providing if it's legal. But he felt belittled because he worked at Wendy's. Who told him? Who made fun of him? I got an idea. I know who. My friend's dead now. He worried about what somebody thought of him because he was providing for his family. I've had my arm this far up in people's sewer pipes. And you want to talk about nasty? But I provided for my family. And we're worried about COVID. Stuff you get out of a sewer pipe. So now we've got these false or these doomsday prophets. There's going to be wars. No kidding, Sherlock. Did you finally read the Bible? There's going to be famines. No kidding. Again, read your Bible. Shortages? It's in there. Inflation? It's in there. But yet David was telling us, this is the day the Lord has made. So we fast forward to some different times. Well, let's stop right here real quick. Proverbs 27. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow you might be saying, yeah, tomorrow we're going to go out and we're going to shoot some skeet, okay? Those of you who don't know, that's clay pigeons. We're going to go out and shoot some clay pigeons. Tomorrow it might be pouring rain. That's not fun. It's cold. It was snowing at the house earlier, and then it was raining. And I think it's probably snowed again, and I don't have fun in that kind of stuff anymore. I'm sorry. I like it warm. But Proverbs was telling us, do not boast about, in other words, don't brag about what's going to happen tomorrow. What about next year? You can make your plans, but understand, plans are always subject to change. I had great plans last year. I made it through about a third of my plans. Some of you, oh, I just don't know what to do. What are you worried about? Just keep living. Make your plans that you can. And if they don't pan out, they don't pan out. James chapter 4. Come now, you who say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city. Spend a year there, buy, sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, do you? Are we guaranteed the sun is going to come back around? Nope, we're not. I laugh when the scientists say, we predict that the sun will self-destruct in 300 million years. What do I care? Why are we worried about 300 million years from now? Is there any million-year-olds in here? No. The oldest man on record was Methuselah at 969. Not even 1,000. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this and that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Now, you can make plans, but you better say, if the Lord's willing, this is the plans. We're going to expand our business. We're going to build this. We're going to build that. Because when you start telling people what you're absolutely going to do, you're left with egg on your face when you come to the end of the year and you never even touched it. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You know now not to boast about what, you can say what you're planning on, but you better back it up with, if God's will is this. There might be good things that are God's will. And there might be good things that are not God's will. You don't always know. Well, I know everything about the will of God. Yeah, is that why you got cancer? So that was God's will. God's will was to sit up there, move you around like a chess piece and give you sickness. No, it's not God's will. Now, Matthew chapter 6. This is a long, we're going to read all 10 verses. Because you have to. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Get this through your heads. Mammon is not just money. It's the way of this world, period. Jesus helps us with that because he kept preaching. It didn't stop here. We put the periods there. We broke it up like this. He was preaching a message. Therefore, I say to you, anybody else see it? Therefore, no, my recollection, it's been a while since I was in school, and particularly English class. Therefore means that it was backing up what he just said. So therefore, I say to you, do not worry about tomorrow or about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor what your about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Do not worry about this stuff. And I need you to understand something here. This isn't really about the love of money. We do things because in our carnal mind, we have to have clothes. In God's mind, he created us naked. In our carnal mind, we have to have food for tomorrow, right? I got a freezer, I got food, we got canned goods, right? Most of us do. In God's world, you walked over to a tree, pulled the fruit off and ate it and kept walking. You walked over to a berry vine, pulled some blackberries or raspberries off. Went over and found a strawberry bush, pulled some strawberries off and ate them. You following? God provided. In God's mind, we're stressing about the wrong things because he already provided for that. No, I'm not saying it's wrong for you to want to wear some nice clothes. But people, oh man, I got to have that Armani suit or people ain't going to take me seriously. I have devil dog jeans on. Never even heard of them until a couple weeks ago. By the way, they're the most comfortable jeans I've ever had. They're like sweatpants. They're soft. And they're stretchy. I like stretchy pants now. But you don't worry about, oh, by the way, it's the most expensive pair of jeans I've ever bought, too. Because I'm cheap. I like the $10 ones you get at Real King. But they don't fit the same. But why do we worry about it? Why do we sit here and fret? Oh, if only I had that prom dress. I'm going to tell you right now, what is wrong with the dressing at dances anymore? I see advertisements for homecoming dances, and the skirt stops right here. What is wrong? There is something wrong with society that thinks that's okay. First off, when did the homecoming become such a... Why? Now it's a whole nother thing, and then, you know, we've had kids in here go to prom and stuff, but now it's a great big thing. People are spending thousands and thousands of dollars just for a dance. Well, we got to rent my kid a limo. I'll let my kid have my truck. Somebody will loan him a car or something. That's fine. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are they not more value than you? Or they, you, them, that, yeah, you know. Are you not more valuable than a sparrow? Have you ever, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I don't touch anything dead. I don't have a problem with it. I was with Joshua the other day, and we were picking up stuff and throwing it in the trash, and I picked up something. He's like, what is that? It's a dead rat. He's like, Dad, yeah, no big deal to me. But I've picked up dead birds. Even the little brown sparrows. Look at them. Look at the detail of their feathers. You'll get lice. Not likely. I'm not rubbing it on my head. I don't have a hair all over my hands for it to live in. God made, it's just a plain brown little bird, and it's gorgeous. And there are birds that are even more. And God has said, this is the words of Christ. He said, you are more valuable than that. A peacock. Their feathers are so intricate. A pheasant. The array of colors. Even the hens, their markings are actually beautiful when you sit and you look at the detail that the Lord God gave them. Look at our bodies. What's happened to them is because of sin. But there was no middle age spread. Men, we didn't get the furniture disease. You know, your chest falls into your drawers. We didn't shrink. We didn't gain weight that we couldn't figure out where, why. That didn't happen in God's original plan. And Jesus' point was to try to get us back to trusting God for everything. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Well, I will tell you right now, it doesn't work. I stopped at 5'8 and then started shrinking. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They don't do anything about it. Look at your flowers you've planted. Go out in the spring and look at the detail of how beautiful they really are. Your Father created that. Well, mine's a hybrid. Well, He created the original, and all that happened was it got crossed. That's all there is to it. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Nature is beautiful. The natural things is absolutely gorgeous. And yet we're worried. God, I don't have a nice enough car. Well, if you'd like a nicer car, ask God. You need to ask Him. Years ago, that's when I finally got the revelation, and God said, I never told you you couldn't. I'm like, man, I'm driving Fred Sanford's truck here. It's 7 different colors. Wheel about fell off the other day. Got holes in the floorboards. And God said, I didn't tell you had to drive that. I actually did like the truck. Just needed a lot of work. But I've trusted God. And that's how God has moved me on. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, again, I'm backing up everything I just said. Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek. And this is the point He's actually pointing out. Non-believers. For this, even non-believers are seeking the same thing. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, His ways. See, we want to do everything the world's way. If you do it God's way, God will bless. Isaac did it God's way. Abimelech didn't. He didn't reap the harvest. Isaac was the only one who had a harvest that year. Isaac fed the land of the Philistines. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Why are we worrying about 2024 and the disasters that somebody who had a bad dream watched the movie Twister? Or Pacific Rim. How many other movies can we think about? The Perfect Storm. About natural disasters, things that happen. The reality is, ladies and gentlemen, people are trying to get you to worry. And I'm going to point something out here. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Back in verse 24, He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is the god of this world. It's not riches. It's just the natural order of things that you think you have to have. Oh, I got to have a better car. Why? Why do I have to have a better car? If you want a better car, that's great. But to think that somebody's looking down on you because you drive this? My first vehicle that ran, I emphasize the word ran, was a 1971 Datsun pickup truck. Folks, this truck is so small, I could reach over and lock the passenger door. It was tiny. My own sister refused to ride with me. She said, I ain't riding in there, and there ain't no other girl going to ride with you in that truck. Well, fine. If they're judging me by my vehicle, then I guess I don't really need them. Well, that worked out great, because what time I met her and all this stuff, I didn't have a car. She had the car. I wouldn't get my first car until sometime in Okinawa, and then everybody loved me because I had a license and wheels. But God kept moving. He kept moving and kept moving. When you quit worrying about what people think about what you drive, well, there's a good step. Drive what you can afford. I went with Justin yesterday, and Joshua was with me. And we went through Newark, and Coughlin Auto, Coughlin Chevrolet, is right there on the corner. Got a beautiful white 2023 or 24 Chevrolet 1500 RST. Base price is $58,000. That's their price. I looked this up afterwards because I'm like, that is a beautiful truck. It was white, lifted, had electric running boards that came out, had some fancy badge on the back that I'd never seen before. And as I looked it up, and I'm like, okay, $58,000, that's still a bunch of money. That wasn't the price of the truck, because I found out what the badge meant. It was the Waldock Rampage Off-Road Series. The truck's price was $75,749. The payment was $1,009 a month. I said, Lord, I like the truck. I don't like that payment. I don't want that truck. I like my truck. I'm happy with my truck. It was a pretty truck, I'm not going to lie. But why do I need that truck? Mine does the exact same thing. Same size bed, same size cab. It had more things that could be problems. And then I got to think about the $1,000 payment. I was like, Lord, that's ridiculous. That's a mortgage. That's almost as much as I paid for my house. Either one of them. But I'm not saying that down the road God may not bless me with that. I'm just saying I don't need it to feel happy. I don't need it to be fulfilled. Neither do I need to worry about, well, what's going to happen in June? Well, if we go according to tradition, it's going to warm up. It's going to rain. We're going to have a mix the whole month of warm rain. Fish are going to start really biting. People are going to get married. Oh, well, we ought not go planning that far ahead. Well, I mean, a wedding you kind of got to. But the reality is, well, I'm not spending any money. Oh, yeah, you're going to spend money. There's no way around it. You live in a natural world. You're going to spend money. You're probably going to need tires. You're going to need gas. Why worry? The market's going to fall out. The market could fall out right now. All it takes is one world leader to do something really stupid. And there goes the market. It takes Putin doing something else. Jesus was telling us not to worry. So, going back to, you can't serve God, you can't serve mammon. There were two things that Jesus talked about in his part of that sermon. He said, do not worry. Why? Because when we worry, we're serving mammon. That's how you serve the God of this world. Because worry and doubt are the exact opposite of faith. How do you serve God? Through faith. Not just believing that there's a God. It's when God says, trust me. Don't worry about your children. Can't tell you enough. Don't worry about your children. I grew up in a household that remembered things of the past, and so when they got saved, they're like, we got to protect our children. We can't let them. We can't let the world at them. Bad idea. I got out. I wasn't prepared for the real world. You can't have friends unless they're Christians. Do you know how many people in the Marine Corps really profess their Christianity? Not many. And even mine got tested. It wasn't that I ever doubted God. I wasn't strong enough to withstand. I'd never been given the opportunity to build. And so I gave in quickly. He ain't got to fight me. Where's it at? Jumped right in. You can't worry about your children. As long as you are training them at home properly, telling them about God, telling them to trust God. Because guess what? They're going to grow up one day and they're going to have kids. One day Maverick's going to have a kid. You know, and I know you guys have gone through a lot with him. It was difficult getting pregnant, and then he had some problems with his feet, and God saw you through it, didn't he? Took a little longer than what we thought, but God saw you through it because he's faithful and just. God will not let you fall as long as you're trusting him. You're taking the step he told you to take. When he told us to start this church, we were faithful and we stepped out. He told us where to go, what to do, we did it. God was faithful and matched us every step. He told me to go to Pastor Dosek. Not because Pastor Dosek owed me anything, but because God told him I was coming and not to refuse me. And he was to answer any questions I might have, and he was to help us get things rolling, particularly on the legal side of this. And he's the one who ordained me, because I had to have that. Now you can just get online, fill out a couple paperwork, take a quiz, and you're an ordained minister. But he didn't need me. I didn't need him to hold my hand. Because again, I told God when I gave my life back to him, I said, I don't want to know you through anybody else. If you don't go with me, then forget this. It's what Moses said. If you don't go with us, just kill us all now, Lord. I want you. I'm going to keep marching. And we kept marching. We got the little building that the realtor said, oh, there's no way he's going to accept your terms. He was more than happy to accept our terms. And then turned around and blessed us with the side we really wanted. And God blessed him for blessing us. And then when it came down to the end and we're like, okay, I just came across the rent, the lease proposal the other day. We were going to rent this rest of this building out, and we were going to convert the one whole side that actually had air conditioning in it, and we were going to put a stage in there and put a couple walls. And he said no. I was like, I was on the phone with him from Sydney, Ohio, Botkins, all the way across here, and I was talking to him. He said no, and I'm fuming. I'm like, Lord, I have been good to this man. You've been good to this man. What's going on? God said, remember that building somebody told you about the other day? I said, yeah. He said, go by there. You know the story. I'm pulling up out here in the front. There's a car turning left. I turn in. I said, I knew where this building was. It was a junkyard. And I used to pull donuts out there in the parking lot. And I'm reaping a bad harvest. Not so much anymore, but... And the owner of the building follows me in. Right then and there, we strike an accord for us to buy this on a land contract. No money down. They paid for the paperwork to be written up. And with $3,000, we started in on this project. $18,000 later, in the same time period, we sent out letters saying, hey, if you want to sow a seed, do it. We are in a building project right now. We are building this. 15 years later, the building is paid for. We owe nothing on this building. There are churches that still haven't paid off their buildings, and they've been into them for 30 years. Why? Because God is faithful. And all you have to do is trust him. Sure, we could have jumped in and said, okay, we need about a $500,000 loan so we can make this to attract people. If I have to attract you with a building or programs, you're at church for the wrong reason. Getting to know God is the purpose for us gathering together, to stir up the love in one another. And that's the point God is trying to get us, is to trust him. When Moses was told to take the children of Israel out that night, you need to understand, he told Pharaoh, 3 days' journey. We're going to go 3 days' journey to hear and worship God. So in other words, Moses was essentially saying, we're going to go there and we're going to come back. 6 days. They had 6 days of provision of actual food. That's all they had prepared. They were in the desert for 40 years. And that was because of their disobedience. Imagine what God would have done if they'd have obeyed. But when they needed bread, because they ran out of bread, God brought manna. When they needed water, God brought water from a rock. When they needed meat, I mean, bread gets old. When they needed meat, God sent quails in knee height, so all you had to do was knock them down. Every time they needed, they weren't to store up extra bread, they weren't to store up extra meat, because God brought more the next day. God provided. It even said that their shoes didn't wear out. I shudder to ask if there's anybody who has a 40-year-old pair of shoes, because somebody in here does. All right, there she is. Wait a minute, let me think, because I've still got my combat boots. They're only in their 30s. But the boots I actually wore from Vietnam, so they're old. But you see, they walked for 40 years in the wilderness and nothing wore out. God provided for them time and time again. They had people come against them and God protected them. They needed food and God brought the food. God has been telling us for a long time, trust me. That is all God wants, is our faith and trust in him. Trust me with your life. When Peter was walking on the water, I mean, I love it. He was walking on the water. He's the only other person we have record of ever walking on the water was Peter. And the only thing we do point out is the fact that he failed. Unfortunately, that's what I'm going to bring up today too. Because Jesus reached down immediately and pulled him up and said, why did you doubt? Why is it you have little faith? Why did you doubt? Let me tell you why he doubted. Because Peter engaged his carnal mind. I am a man. I am a fisherman. And any time I've ever stepped out of the boat, I fell into the water. I shouldn't be doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, I shouldn't be up here. I was content. I was the sound man. I'd do anything else. I'd clean the toilets. I've watched kids. I've done it all. And by no means qualified to be up here. But God qualified me. Because God's like, I don't need you qualified. I need you to be obedient. And that's all we need, is to be obedient. When we do what God says, he makes us look smart. Wow, he really saw into the future on that one. No, I just did as God said. God said, put that away. Put this aside. When Jesus was sending out the disciples at first, he said, don't take a knapsack, don't take extra sandals, don't take money, and don't take a sword. Don't take any of that stuff. And wherever you go, say peace to you, and if your peace returns, that's where you stay. They will take care of you. Jesus was teaching his disciples, who at this point were so far removed from the Exodus that they had the carnal mind of, what about tomorrow? What am I going to eat tomorrow? It's kind of what I like about The Chosen. It really is showing how Jesus and the disciples walked. And they would pull, they'd gather grain. Because that was God's way of blessing the farmer and blessing those who were traveling and who were poor. There was no welfare system. The farmers rounded off the corners of their fields, and that took care of those who could not. And God blessed the harvest for the farmer. So fast forward to the Last Supper, Jesus is getting ready for things to happen. And he says, you know, before I told you not to take a knapsack, don't take extra clothes, don't take this, don't take that. And he says, I'm telling you now, take it. He says, matter of fact, if you don't have a sword, go out and sell your jacket and buy one. The reality is, folks, he was simply still saying, again, you still got to trust me. Because you can only carry so much. And that's the crazy thing. You know, if you, the guys, the troops on the ground, when they're carrying that stuff, you really seriously need to look at those videos again and understand how big that pack is. How much weight is in there. And they usually carry about 3 to 4 MREs with basis that they're only eating 2 of them at a day, which is 4,000 calories. And trust me, you will burn it. But that's on top of their ammo. That's on top of their body armor. Their weapon. The disciples didn't look like that. They didn't have this great big rucksack on their backs. They looked like the hobo we always see on the cartoons with the little bag hanging off the stick. They didn't carry much. Maybe they had a bedding roll. You're not going to carry a whole lot of food with you back then. You know, they're carrying these 2,000 calorie MREs that are just compressed and condensed. The disciples may have had some bread that would last 2 days. Bread goes bad fast. God was still teaching them, you need to trust me. In 2024, ladies and gentlemen, I want you to trust God. Don't lean on your own understanding. God tells you to step out. Maybe it's a new career. Don't hesitate. Trust me. I hesitated. Lord, man, I got these great benefits. I just really hate to walk away right now. I don't have this established. Ladies and gentlemen, I left in September, so October, November were kind of skinny months for me. We really trusted God. We got behind on our mortgage for 2 months. That's how little money was coming in. For 2 months, we had just enough to maybe pay a couple bills and groceries. But our faithfulness, and we did tithe, but God's faithfulness is so great that come that December, she ran into an old school friend. And she was just telling me, yeah, Art started his own business. I know him too. And, oh, yeah, what's he doing? And so I said, you need to get hooked up with this company I'm working with. He said, I'm going to give his name and number to the foreman. And it was Farmer Boy Ag. They build commercial farms. And before you go complaining about commercial farms, understand something. If you're enjoying your cheap chicken, your cheaper eggs, and your cheap pork, that's why. But he said, I'll give his name. Was it a week? It was 1 week, and the guy calls me up. Says, hey, I want you to come out here, and I got your name and understand that you can do this stuff. Come out here and help me pour a slab at a farm. Okay. I show up out there, and I told him, he said, how much you want an hour? And I told him, and he just kind of got quiet for a second, and like, okay. He said, you might want to rethink about what you're charging. I'm thinking, how do people make it? I was charging $18 an hour. He said, you need to up your rate. Really? I said, what do the other guys make? He said, this is what they bill. Thank you very much. Got to charge $25 an hour. Plus expenses. Ladies and gentlemen, God used that company. Every time I'd finish up with a job that I had on my own, it was without fail. We need you to go to this farm. We've got about 2 weeks worth of work. and we'll pay you travel. We'll pay for your hotel if you need to. Oh, by the way, I was the only one who would go on farms that were occupied. And if anybody's ever been on an occupied hog farm, that's not fun. But God blessed me for my obedience. And that company would I would send in my bill on Friday, and I'd have it by Tuesday morning. There were people I worked with face to face that wouldn't pay that quick. Well, I don't know if I want to pay that. The work's done. One guy told me I was making too much. I can leave. I mean, I don't know how anybody else is making it. I mean, how you're driving that really nice Dodge diesel dually crew cab. But you ain't charging $25. And I found out he was charging $75. And I was making too much. But anyhow, that's neither here nor there, because God moved on to trust him and to build my confidence. So what I'm telling you is trust God. He creates the opportunity. Take the step. Take that step. At some point, Moses had to take the step out of Goshen. At some point, Joshua had to take that step across the Jordan. Somebody had to lead the way. The greatest thing you can leave your children is a legacy of faith. Not, well, you know, Dad just would never do. Dad wouldn't follow his dreams. Give me a man that'll follow his dreams any day. Give them to me. God didn't give you those dreams so that they just fall on the ground. He's got a reason. And sometimes our dreams aren't necessarily the ones God gave us, but what we thought. By the way, I was supposed to have been a lineman. I was going to follow in Dad's steps. That door got shut. Joined the Marines. Supposed to have been an electrician. Became a diesel mechanic. But God continued to move. Never dreamed of this. That was not in my plans. But it is God's. And I will tell you right now, God has blessed because of that obedience. God will bless you through 2020. Don't worry about what they're saying. You do realize they've been saying it the whole time. If you ain't figured out, every time they say gas prices are going to go up, who told them? Why are they going up? Nothing changed. That's because somebody needs more money, or they want more money. That's it. It's the world's way. So when you hear somebody say they're going to raise gas prices, they're going to. But it causes everything else to go up. Food prices, you all know that. I mean, I don't do most of the shopping, but that's kind of a slap in the face. I remember going through and getting this for about $25. What do you mean it's $65 now? Trust God. Trust God. I don't like it any more than you, but don't complain about it. And if you're going to whine, don't whine to me. Don't whine to your wife. Don't whine to your neighbor. Whine to God. He's the only one who can do anything about it. That's why the children of Israel got in trouble. I was thinking about that the other day. I was like, Lord, you know, whining. We all do it, don't we? We get in our own little pity party and party of one, you know. And we're whining about the things. Oh, man, I just can't believe the price of gas. Why are you whining to everybody else? God's the only one who can do anything about this. You know what he's going to do about it? He might lead you to a good deal on some gas. Yesterday, I thought I got a great deal. I got 15 cents off a gallon. Took it down to 264. Like, woohoo! Crossed over 71, it was 248. I was like, Lord, why don't they have a taller sign? Doesn't matter. God said, why are you whining about it? You had the money. Pay it. All right. Shut up. I quit up. Come back through the gas station across the street. It was 248. The one I was at was still 279. Oh, well. I can't believe what this steak cost. Do you have the money? Well, yeah. Thank the Lord for it. He provided it. Don't worry about what you're not going to have. Start thinking for things you do have. and watch God provide for you. I know vehicles aren't cheap. I mean, like I said, that truck was $75,000. My first house was $85,000. This is nuts. It's crazy. And there were trucks that were more expensive than that one because it was fifth in the line of high to low. It was the nicest one. Coolest, I should say. It had cool factor, okay? I can promise all you young guys, you'd have been, oh, look at that truck. Big tires. 6-liter engine. Trust God. He will provide for you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand. Whenever God's asked his people to do something, it's because he already had a plan. When God asked us to step out, to take it, well, it wasn't really an asking, it was a telling, to step out and start this church, he had a plan for this building. And that was 4 years later. God knew 4 years after that the people that were here were going to shut the business down. And they were going to move on. God knew that. God knows what's going on in your life. Garcia, he knows about your job. He already knows. He knows about the dreams you have. You've got to fully trust him. You can't be like Peter and walk out on the water and only half trust. That's why Jesus said, why did you have little faith? He had faith, but it was this big. The doubt overpowered it. And he didn't trust God. You had to trust God with Maverick. So why don't we trust him with our lives? I had to trust God with Jesse, with Justin. Just trust God. He'll see it through. And he will turn what the devil tried to do for bad to good for you. You just got to trust him. Trust, 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 trust. What are we going to do?
Trust.
Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you. You are a good God. You're a faithful God. Lord, that you love us so much that you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us. Father, if we're in the wrong path, that we're not following your path, Lord God, guide us back. Smack us up the side of the head if we need that to readjust. But help us to follow your leading, Lord, your path. Father, because not every door that opens is of you. So, Father, close the doors you didn't open. And help us get to the doors that you have opened for us. Lord, we know that as we step out with our lives, you will meet us there. James said, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. So our first step is to you. And we know that you'll meet us. Now, Father, I thank you for 2023. There have been challenges throughout this year. There's been grief. There has been joy. But, Father, you were there through it all. Lord, I pray that as we move forward in 2024, we know that those same options are there, but that you're with us. And Father, if you're not with us in this, if you're not going before us, we don't want to go. We'll be like Moses. If you're not going before us, don't send an angel. We want you. If you're not there, we don't want to be there. So Father, clarify our hearing through our hearts, that we will follow your paths. Lord, we will walk the walk. We will move in the way you have moved, the way you're showing us, Father. I thank you right now, Lord God, that you're blessing your people. In Jesus' name, amen.